That Metal Interview.
Greetings from the state of Texas of the USA, from That Metal Interview podcast. Your friend James, fellow thrasher, headbanger, rocker. Call me what you feel, it's fine. We're all in this same metal rock world, and you are in for a treat. We have another special guest, a great, great guitar legend by the name of Michael Schenker. Yes, the legendary Michael Schenker is here today on the show with us of his band named the Michael Schenker Group, Michael Schenker Fest, Michael Schenker's Temple of Rock, formerly of UFO, and formerly of Scorpions. Wow, what a resume. Talk about a badass resume, man. So anyways, Mr. Schenker has a brand new album out by the name of Universal. It came out May 27th, not so long ago. And Michael Schenker Group. And he's got a couple of different guest musicians and vocalists. For example, he's got Ralph Sheepers of Primal Fear. He's got Michael Kiske of Helloween. Just to name a few of the badass guests and the badass lineup on there. So anyways, let's check out Mr. Schenker's latest jam and video, a song by the name of A King Has Gone, featuring Michael Kiske. We'll be right back. Check it out.
Yeah.
never disappoints, man. Michael Schenker is and continues to be a living legend, very much respected by the metal and rock world. He is highly respected by many, many musicians around the world, including Kirk Hammett, including Mr. Yngwie Malmsteen, including many, many people have spoken very highly of Mr. Schenker. We asked him a question about that. So anyways, let's go ahead and check out our conversation with Michael Schenker. Enjoy. So let's start with the new album, Universal, dropping May 27th, Atomic Fire Records. New single, A King Has Gone. Awesome stuff with Michael Kiske. How is this album different than your last one, Immortal?
Yeah, well, the songs, you know, the songs are different, and we have got Michael Kiske on there, and, you know, it's basically more of a band now, because the Immortal was already with Ronnie being the main singer, and on this album, Universal, he did more even, more song singing as the main singer, and so this band is developing into a band, and so basically just like all other bands, when they make an album and they make another album with the same people in the group, the difference between the albums they make is usually the songs. And that's the same case with us.
Right. So I understand you got Ralph Sheepers also as a guest vocalist, and Kiske, of course. How did you choose those guys out of thousands of singers in the world?
Well, Michael Kiske, Ralph Sheepers, he was on the last album, on the Immortal album.
Yeah.
And I actually don't remember how exactly I wanted him to sing on that album in the first place. I'm sure there's a story to it, but because of the pandemic and making two albums in those 2 years, I kind of, you know, and having Ralph Sheepers singing again on this album, I get a little bit mixed up, to be honest. But, you know, Ralph Sheepers is a fantastic singer.
Yeah.
And he did such a great job on the Immortal album. I said to Michael Frost, hey, I want him again this time. Try and get him again. And he did. And he did another great job.
Awesome singer, for sure. Yeah. So how do you decide?
Yeah, thank you.
How do you decide whether a new song is for MSG or for Schenkerfest or for Temple of Rock, for that matter?
Yeah, we don't really know. I mean, I write all the music. When I come into the studio, Michael Frost, my co-producer, doesn't usually know what I'm going to, you know, put on the recording until we press the button, and then he starts to learn the songs. And as we, and from that moment on, you know, it's brick by brick. It's teamwork, you know. I ask him things, so he comes up with ideas, I have ideas. And other people have ideas, you know, even the Nuclear Blast, Markus Steiger, he had the idea with Michael Kiske, and we tried it out, and it worked fantastic, and so on. And so we never know how an album ends up in the end, you know, but that's the beauty of being an artist and fearlessly just move forward and have fun and then come up with the results. And so we don't really know who's going to sing on what. So it just happens on a daily basis as we move forward. A new day will suggest new ideas, and that's how we work.
So how did you discover Ronnie Romero? Great, great talent, of course. How did you find him?
Yeah, that was on the Revelation album. We were getting towards the end of finishing the album, and somehow we were. There was one song left. Where we didn't have any vocals, and it was becoming a little bit of a difficult situation because it was a double bass drum fast song, you know, having all the Michael Schenkerfest singers sing on it became a little bit complicated. So Michael first suggested, hey, I know a guy who's working with Richie Blackmore these days, and I can ask him, he was great, and maybe he would like to jump in quickly. And I said, yeah, let's ask him. And he asked him, he actually nailed the song the same day. Ronnie Romero, fantastic.
Really?
And from then on, of course, you know, I stuck with him, you know.
Man, what a talent. That guy is just super talented. He came out of nowhere. I've seen him with other projects and, you know, great, great, great singer, great talent, for sure. I interviewed Robin McCauley a couple of months ago. Very cool guy, as you know. Are you still friends with him? Are you in touch with him?
Of course, we just toured together in Europe. Just finished a European tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, how did that go?
Yeah, oh, fantastic. I mean, Robin jumped in for Ronnie Romero, who committed to the tour, but then had a personal problem, and I had to accept it, and we asked Robin, and Robin was, he was so kind and jumped in, and he did such a great job, you know, and he's getting better as he gets older. It's really incredible.
Yeah, great vocalist. The first time I heard Robin was with MSG with that song Anytime back in about 89, I think.
Yeah.
Oh man, I love that song. Yeah. Congrats on that song. Talk to me about that song. That's just a great jam. Who wrote that?
Well, it's Steve Mann, who is now the guitarist, keyboard player in my band, the MSG, and who was in those days. He was on and off the keyboard guitarist, keyboard player guitarist in the Kolesenka group.
Yep.
And he actually wrote the music, and then Robin did his vocals to it, and that was the song.
Wow, I love that song. It's just awesome jam. To this day, it doesn't get old. It's just a badass song. So,
yeah, many people love Anytime.
Yeah. Do you have to play it every in most of your gigs, or do you skip it sometimes?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Oh no, we played it when we did the Michael Schenker Fest, of course, because of Robin's section part of the Michael Schenker Fest. We had any time in. Sometimes we leave it out, depending on what the last tour that we played. I always try to refresh the set if we do more than one tour with the same project. And so sometimes it's in, sometimes it's out.
What were you listening to when you became a part of the Scorpions back in the day, a long time ago?
When I started off, when I was 9, I was, listening to Hit Parade. When I was 11, I was had my first band, and again, I was playing, cover songs, songs from Beatles, Rolling Stones, and stuff like that for people to dance to. When I was 13, I was in an X band. When I was 14, I was in a band with Klaus Meiner, who was the singer with the Scorpions, and then when I was 15, Klaus and I joined the Scorpions, and in those days, from when I was 3, 4, 5 years old, whatever was on the radio, and then I discovered, of course, the late 60s, early 70s guitarists like Johnny Winter, Rory Gallagher, Leslie West, Jimmy Page, Jeff Beck, and so on, and Eric Clapton, that was it for me, Black Sabbath, Deep Purple. And, there was this distortion when that came out, that's when I really, when it clicked for me, because distortion was making it possible for my daughter to really sustain and add that kind of emotion to everything. And that was the beauty. And from then on, I just went all the way. And I stopped listening to music when I was 17, was because I was devoted to pure self-expression, as pure as I can do it. So not listening to music helped to be pure, and also kept me fresh by not consuming and being, worn out from listening.
Wow, very cool. A legend that you are, for sure. How does it feel? How does it feel being referred to as a legend? Countless guitar players have named you as an influence and originator of many, many guitar licks and different things on the guitar world, as far, for example, Kirk Hammett from Metallica, he really looks up to you. Malmsteen looks up to you. A bunch of people look up to you. How does that feel?
Well, I never expected anything like that because I'm an artist and I was devoted to pure self-expression. So I was never keeping up with anything outside of my world. you know, actually quite the opposite. I tried to isolate as much as I could so that I could be as pure as possible. As a result, I created my own style. And then, of course, Kirk Hammett and Dave Mustaine and so on, and Slash, in the 90s, you know, I never knew what an impact I had on people, but they expressed it in the 90s, and I went, wow, you know, that's amazing. I didn't know that. And then I analyzed it, and I realized, well, that's the effect of pure self-expression. They never heard something like what I did before, and of course they couldn't have, because it was inside myself. Anybody can do it if they wanted to go that way, but most people don't have the confidence, they don't believe in themselves, and they rather be quickly famous and stick to a trend, copy the trend to get a piece of the pie, etc., etc. So you win some, you lose some, depending on how you want to get where you want to get to.
Wow, well said. So speaking of UFO, how did you end up, how did you get that gig with UFO, going from Scorpions to UFO? How did that happen?
Yeah, it was almost like a wish come true, you know, because I was stuck in Germany. I was 15 years old when I did the first Scorpions album, and when I wrote my first song in Church of Peace of Mind. And I always said to the Scorpions, if the English band would ask me to join them, I would do it any time, because, you know, people in Germany didn't understand what I was doing. They're just starting, I mean, heavy metal is becoming now in Germany really big, you know, they taking over from England and so on. But in those days, anybody was listening and, you know, to pop music and dance music. And so anyway, Scorpions and UFO toured together, and the Scorpions were supporting UFO. But when we arrived at the concert hall for soundcheck, there was only three UFO members, and the road crew was gone. They were looking for the missing guitarist of UFO, and so my father just had financed us a big PA system of 20 cabinets for vocals, and so UFO saw that, and they went, well, maybe we can carry on if we borrow Michael, you know, for our part of the show. And so I ended up playing 45 minutes with the Scorpions, and then playing an hour with UFO afterwards, you know, for a couple of nights. Then the other guitarist came back, and everything went back to normal. And then after the tour, UFO asked me to join, and of course I jumped in quickly. And in summer 72, I was 17 and a half years old. I landed in London, and that was the beginning of with UFO.
Wow, what an interesting story! Very, very cool story there. Nice. When it comes to solos, what is your approach to the solos? Does it depend on the song, the feel of the song, or do you kind of do you hear it in your head before recording a solo, or do you sit there and kind of figure it out, or what's your approach coming up with a solo?
If it's a slow song, in the past, in general, I usually work out the solo, you know, put nice melodies in it and make it, you know, really melodic and so on. And when it comes down to fast solos, to like faster rock songs, I usually improvise, and that's the two different approaches.
When I spoke to Robin, he spoke very well of you, of course, and your friendship and all that. He said you're, and I've read before that you're a perfectionist when it comes to recording and playing your music. Is this true?
Well, I like to, you know, do things as well as I can. Yeah. According to my taste, and because I'm practicing pure self-expression, yeah, I am very specific about things. It probably comes across very much like perfectionist, because I have a vision of things, and you know, it does not necessarily connect with the others, so I might appear like that very much.
Awesome. If there was a movie about Michael Schenker, what would be the title of the movie?
A Spirit on a Mission.
Nice. Wow. Have you thought of maybe making a movie of Michael Schenker or something like that?
No, I haven't made a movie. I'm not sure if I'm going to, but if I do, it's a Spirit on a Mission, spreading and expressing the joy of music from a place of pure self-expression. That would be the extended title.
We have a couple of fan questions from social media. Al is asking, is Michael Schenker, at what point does Michael Schenker think his best playing was, or do you think your best playing was at a certain album? Or where, I guess the question is, at what point do you think your best playing was?
Is that one question or two questions?
I think that's one question. Your best playing at what point in time?
Yeah. Okay. Well, my whole life, my whole music career is a consistent development. There are no favorite situations or times. It's just an ongoing development and an ongoing consistent ongoing way of pure self-expression. And the pure self, in self-expression, there is no better or worse. It just is expression. So I just naturally go from one place to the next, to the next, to the next, as time goes. And no moment ever will be repeated. There's not such a thing. So every moment is special. And every moment it has an imprint on me and of my whole, at the end of the day, after 50 plus years, put it all together, it all has become my Kushenka. So you can't just take pieces out, but they are all part of me.
Nice. Puros y Vinos is asking you, when Michael Schenker toured with the Scorpions during the Love Drive tour, was he aware of any shows that were recorded professionally, either audio or video?
No, I am not. I'm not aware of it.
Okay. Garrett is asking, ask about his older Gibson guitars and their whereabouts. It may be public knowledge of where they're at, but I'd be curious to know of his old gear.
You know, that's not part of my passion. My passion is creating music and focus on that. A guitar is just an instrument, you know, that if a guitar has got a lousy player behind it, the guitar becomes lousy. So, you know, it's I wouldn't put too much emphasis on guitars, you know, because the person behind it really makes the guitar. And so therefore it doesn't matter if it's a V, if it's black and white or whatever. It does not matter. If a child with no music experience place a black and white flying V of Michael Schenker, nothing would come out of it. So the point is that, you know, whoever, you know, prides themselves for being the first flying V guitarist or the first black and white or whatever player, it doesn't make any difference. The main thing is who is behind a guitar. It can be any guitar. I can pick up any guitar and it still sounds like Michael Schenker. So, you know, I don't worry about guitars. I don't know where my guitars are either.
Wow. So Carlo is asking, on the album Fly to the Rainbow, the song Fly to the Rainbow is credited as being written by yourself, Michael Schenker, and Uli John Roth. How did that come to be? How did that happen?
Well, it's just the Scorpions, because I had already left the Scorpions. I joined UFO, and part of Fly to the Rainbow was a leftover I wrote while I was with the Scorpions. So because I was joining a famous band, or already famous band at that time, becoming famous, obviously more famous than the Scorpions, but I had left behind that particular composition. And so because I did a UFO album, Phenomenon, and the Scorpions, you know, were getting ready for the second album, and they always used to use a sticker on their albums featuring Michael Schenker from UFO, and at that point, the Scorpions did their second album, and they needed something, a slogan, something that would get people's attention, so they used my composition, and then Uli, I guess, listened to what I had, whatever they had on the tape from me playing, and then Uli added something to it. I don't know what he added, but they just wanted to create a collaboration between Uli and me to make it more attractive for the people who would buy the next album of the Scorpions. And of course they had a sticker on the second Scorpions album, Fly to the Rainbow, featuring Michael Schenker from UFO.
Wow, very cool story there. Wow. Graham is asking, will we see the rest of Michael Schenker's catalog on vinyl, for example Written in the Sand, Adventures of the Imagination?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Chris has just approached me to do a set box. And so I think in the future, a few more things are going to happen. I don't really focus on that. But when people do ask me, I start thinking about it, analyzing it, what is it, inform myself, et cetera, et cetera. It looks like we're doing a box set of the Christmas period. And so who knows, probably eventually, you know, all different eras with different record companies will eventually come to the surface and will be re-released as box sets, et cetera, et cetera. I have no idea, but this is what I imagine.
Nice. Is there any advice you can give to a young, up-and-coming guitar player, if you will?
Well, you know, first of all, a musician needs to know what they want to do, or a guitarist, which way they want to go. They want to go become famous very quickly, make money quickly, and then they have to, you know, copy what the trend is doing to get a piece of the pie. If they want to be an artist and have fun with music and really enjoy the creation of it and devote themselves to pure self-expression, then it's a different story. You know, success may take, you know, 50 years, so on, or it may be very quickly, it may work very fast, because each person has a unique way of looking at things, and nobody has the same view as a person has. So if a person decides to open up and do things the way they see it, they may become recognized as a very unique player, just like I did, get recognized by Slash and Mustang and Kirk Hammett, et cetera, et cetera. And I made it on that level, and then people started copying me, and they overexposed my guitar style before I even could use it. But I always had a step ahead, and I always reinvent myself, but naturally. So these are the two ways of going. It really depends on how a person, what a person really wants out of life.
Nice. Michael, would you like to send a message to your fans listening to this podcast?
Absolutely. Keep on rocking!
Wow, there you go. That's the best message I've heard yet. Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. We appreciate your time, and it's a blast talking to you. And thank you for bringing great, great music. And looking forward to hearing the brand new album, Universal. Thank you for your time, Michael.
Thank you so much.
So pick it up, stream, download Universal, the new album by Mr. Michael Schenker and Michael Schenker Group. You guys will not be disappointed. Ryan Romero on there on the vocals. And some badass musicians, of course, as he has a badass guest list of musicians on there. So anyways, check it out, Universal, the latest album by Mr. Schenker. As far as our podcast, thank you guys, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Don't forget to like us on social media, and don't forget to download, share, and this and that, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, thank you guys, and don't forget to keep it metal.
That Metal Interview.